I'm ready. Shelley, are you ready? I'll go ahead and call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on August 26th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is a public comment, portion number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. Other reports. Consideration of a proclamation recognizing September as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month in Story County. And I've got the proclamation, and I'll go ahead and read it. Story County Board of Supervisors, Childhood Cancer Awareness Month proclamation. Whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection report cancer is a leading cause of death by disease among U.S. children between infancy and age 15. This tragic disease is detected in more than 15,000 of our country's young people each and every year. Whereas one in five of our nation's children loses his or her battle with cancer, many infants, children, and teens will suffer from long-term effects of comprehensive treatment, including secondary cancers, and whereas founded over 20 years ago by Stephen Firestein, a member of the philanthropic Max Factor family, and the American Cancer Fund for Children Incorporated and Kids Cancer Connection Incorporated are dedicated to helping these children and their families, and whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection provide a variety of vital patient psychological services for children undergoing cancer treatment at Blanks Children's Hospital in Des Moines, University of Iowa Children's Hospital in Iowa City, as well as participating hospitals throughout the country, thereby enhancing the quality of life for these children and their families. And whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection is also sponsor Courageous Kid Recognition Awareness Ceremonies and Hospital Celebrations in honor of a child's determination and bravery to fight the battle against childhood cancer. In witness thereof, I hereunto set my hand this 26th day of August, 2014, by the Story County Board of Supervisors.
I would move the proclamation recognizing September as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month for Story County, Story County.
I have a motion and a second. Is there anything further? Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot, aye. That proclamation has been made. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Sign that. Next is our TIF funding update from the county auditor.
Okay.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I provided you with a document in the packet giving you the most recent numbers. Stacy and I were talking yesterday, and I can tell you what this year's TIF dollars will be. Next year's and on forward are always a swag. My favorite term. However, Stacy does feel like after the roll-up, she can start getting some more
good projections. We haven't rolled up to 14 yet. The assessment year 14, and TIF does not exist in the year 2014 in the assessor year. So we really have to wait to roll up to get those good numbers. And with all this property tax reform, the 90% rollback now, I'd feel more comfortable giving you some good solid numbers once we roll up. So
sure,
as far as projected.
But these are reasonably solid projections we're looking at here. We're going to see some variation, right?
Right. The projected for FY 17, 18, 19, that does not include. We brought on a few wind towers last year, which had no value last year, which we'll get some value on for 14. So those are not included in this. So you may see those numbers change quite a bit.
So what I want you to think or know is that for FY15, the TIF dollars that we're projecting are the $619,362.13. The debt obligation that we've already incurred is $394,419.50. So that gives us a balance for the fiscal year. But with the carryovers from the two previous years, the total funds available in the TIF fund will be $235,185.80. I did, you know, give you the actuals up above for the projects that we've already approved, so you know where we're at with those. Obviously, the funds that have not been used yet for Dakin's Lake got carried forward, and the $114.6 that we just amended or are talking about amending back in is also being carried forward. So for FY15, we have $1.2 million committed yet.
Okay.
What else do you want from us?
I think it's a good update.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm sure I'll come up with something.
Yep.
Bill.
Thank you.
Next, we'll start our presentations of the 2014 urban renewal applications, and we're going to add the City of Slater to that also. Is that correct, Shelley? Okay. And we'll just take them in order. Or no, we'll let Leanne do her bit first. Good morning.
I'm Mayor Lynn Lathrop, and I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors and the county employees for giving us this opportunity to submit a funding application. As you know by now, this vital piece of real estate once was home to a thriving business. On July 27, 2012, the city acquired the building. 1 month later, demolition, including asbestos removal, parking lot removal, utilities abandoned, backfill, topsoil, and seeding took place. The city's goal for this location was to attract folks back to downtown to refocus our main street. So we asked the recent leadership, Nevada class, to plan for improvements on this particular site. In 2014, Leadership Nevada graduate Mitzi Alexander, who's sitting to my right, will speak more about this, about the proposed project.
Good morning.
Morning.
The mayor appointed a community betterment committee to take the three conceptual designs from the Leadership Nevada graduates and help reduce it into one plan. I volunteered to be on this committee, and I'm very passionate about this space for our community, and that's why I wanted to be involved in this, so I'm excited to share with you our plan. The plan has many elements, as you can see. We think the specific amenities such as like the benches, the planters, flags, picnic tables, landscaping, and trash cans, those elements would likely get funded with our smaller grant requests. The city would likely cover like electricity costs, fencing, pillars, the clock, archway, pavers, and historical elements, being that it's located right on the Lincoln Highway. It's really a hub and a gateway to our downtown, and so we want to incorporate those elements into that space. What we are seeking funding for would be the element that we think that would help to draw people into the community and into the downtown space, and that is the multipurpose stage or shelter. Currently, our Midtown Farmers Market uses our City Hall parking lot for their events, and the community band plays also in the City Hall parking lot. We feel that the stage and shelter would enhance those events that are already existing, but plus would also attract additional events such as movies in the park, community picnics, outdoor weddings, receptions, concerts, exercise classes, chamber events, and the list could go on because it would be open to the community to be of use. And while the benches and planters and flags are nice and are important to our project, we feel that you might agree that the stage or the shelter is a key to our ultimate goal to bringing the community into our downtown area and making that into an important hub of the community.
Good morning. You know me, Elizabeth Hanson, City Administrator.
Liz, pull the microphone a little closer.
Sorry. I just wanted to focus on the two areas that make that where our project meets the eligibility of your application process. Number one and number two, infrastructure expansion, then also our Main Street downtown revitalization. Like Mitzi said, the project enhances events that are currently located in that area. It would create the focal point to attract residents of all ages throughout the year. And it would, of course, they'd be able to enjoy the space and the events hosted at that location. Most importantly, this project is a catalyst for revitalizing downtown and refocusing really not just the city, but also the businesses downtown as well. The next slide shows the total project costs, the proposed budget, and then also the grants that we have sought. So, first of all, the city shows $146,970, which is 49% of the project cost. We're asking the county not for 75% of the project, but actually only 23% of the project cost, and then the grants equal the other 28%. If we do not get all of these grants that we applied for, and you can see the status of those, they've been applied for, and we hope to hear from them in the next 4 to 6 months, we have a backup plan of selling the brick and getting donations. So that's donations and selling brick is not a part of this plan right now. So again, 70% that we're requesting from the county is 93% of the total cost of the multi-purpose stage and shelter. So Mayor.
So here are the benefits. Here are the benefits we see for doing this entire project. By doing this together, collaborating, it is a win-win situation. We will have increased property taxes, economic growth, and we will be attracting people to live, recreate and recreate and do business in Nevada in Storey County. Again, we want to thank you for this opportunity. Does anyone have any questions at this time?
No, I was just wondering, when I looked at the design phase, I didn't quite see a shuffleboard laid out there for people like me. You know, I'm sure leadership in the Nevada never kind of thought about that. You know, as the population ages a little bit, maybe we won't be quite as mobile, so shuffleboard might be.
Wayne, I think if you and Ed are willing to make the right kind of donation, I'm sure they would be glad to consider.
Well, you know, I kind of thought about that, too. Yeah. No, I appreciate, the information. Obviously, you guys put a lot of thought into the project and so forth. And I guess being a former from the county part of the Leadership Nevada team, it is great to see that group coming forth with a project and a recommendation. So, you know, all in all, it's thank you.
And I'd just point out, first of all, a really nice presentation. Thank you for coming. I'd point out that we have actually partnered with Nevada on a project already through this TIF project in the bike trail where Nevada paid a portion, we paid a portion, and then we fundraised a portion. And so similar type model for the betterment of all of us, and we do need to continue to recognize that Nevada is the county seat.
Yeah. The corner today is a huge improvement over what it was. I think this definitely would enhance the look and appeal of downtown Nevada. And I think it was a very well thought out and laid out project. So,
yep. Liz, I had one question before you guys get away. So you've applied for multiple grants, I think, totaling somewhere in the $80,000 to $90,000 range. And so we got to see the deadlines. Do we know when those grants are awarded, where we'll know if those dollars are available?
The latest grant application that has a deadline, I believe, is December. So we should know by the beginning of the year how much we have collected for it.
An expected timeline for this project?
Yes, next construction season. So next.
Can you give us just a short update on the 6th Street project?
On the 6th Street project? Actually, I believe they're doing asphalt this week, so they'll be starting to lay the asphalt. So hopefully, again, the October 1st was the deadline, but we see that being finished up here pretty soon in the next couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And next should be the city of Zering.
Sent some documentation over to the county. I don't know if you have anything there. I've got some copies of part of our application that we can go through and review so you can follow through with.
Okay.
I've got a whole copy of the application if you'd like that.
Got that in here.
You have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, once again, thank you for the opportunity to apply for a grant through the county. We've been partnering with the county on a few different projects, and Main Street in Zering is changing. The project we're talking about right now, so we started working on 107 West Main. We've got some grant funding through the Iowa DNR in the past where we went through and done the environmental studies, assessments for asbestos and lead paint. We've also put some funding from the city into that, a local match of $12,000 at that time. That basically covered getting all the removal of the debris out of there, working on the exterior, part of the exterior, and getting structurally sound on the inside. So right now we've got a shell of a building. We're also talking about the 103 West Main, which is currently our city hall, and it basically shares a roof with that building, so it's all connected. And in the past, especially with ice backup, we've had some leakage that has damaged the interior to both buildings. We're looking at the funding there. So far on the existing funding, we got the grant for $23,800, a local match by the city of Zering for $12,000. So the total existing funding sources is $35,800. So additional funding needed. We had some overages of $17,427. That was above what was bid on the project before that we had to do, finding extra things. We were going to try to renovate the old storefront, the old facade. We removed the steel siding on there, and we renovated the brickwork, so it's the original brickwork. The windows, we could not do that. Some of those were broken, and we had to get replacement windows and redo the facade some there. So that was extra cost there. So now we're looking at doing some interior finishing, getting the drywall done in there. We're going to need a heating and cooling source, some electrical work, plumbing work. We want to get this ready to either, one, house another business on Main Street, or two, I'm going to push toward, until that point, possibly putting in a rec center where we can have some activities for senior citizens during the day and some of the evening hours, and then also some activities for our youth. In the evening, the youth, you know, there's possibilities for activities in town. We've got some nice parks they can go to, and we've got a library, a lot of them utilized, but that's about it. So I wanted to point out at the bottom that the city of Zering has also committed an additional $12,600 already on the project, and that's for planning, construction, administration, and architectural. So the total project cost right now is $66,809. Going through there, we've also done some other renovations on Main Street to show that Zering is dedicated to the Main Street renovation. We got some funding for a new pharmacy building that we did last year. That pharmacy's really doing good. It's right next to our medical center. It's got a new brick facade on it. That's what we're doing with all of our buildings. We got some funding through the facade on Nigel's up there. We've got a new brick front on that. We also used some funding to put a new brick facade on the city hall with new windows. So we're looking at moving forward on the renovation of Main Street. And we think that this shows that we're dedicated to moving forward in that. Also, some of it that's not mentioned here, we also put out about $28,000 last year for the structural foundation on our heritage room, which is our museum that's right next door to our library. So there's the request. I want to thank you for letting me speak with you.
Absolutely. I just want to point out, Mayor Chance talked a little about the transformation that Zeering is undergoing. And, Mayor, I just want to compliment you and your city council and really all of the town. It is so encouraging to see where Zeering was, you know, 8-10 years ago and what you guys are doing with it. Really appreciative of the work you guys are putting in.
Right now we have four more buildings we're looking at, and we don't have control of those buildings, but we've got four more buildings we got to get something done with, you know, and that'll be looking toward in the future. Plus, I still want to thank you folks for the expansion of the Dakins Lake project, and the city has partnered with you, and we had a great fundraiser for stock in that lake. Went out there with my grandson the other day. There's fish swimming all around, so should be able to catch some next year.
You guys have done a great job. It looks great. I actually lived in Zeering for a year back in 1980. A little different now than it did back then. So
right, and we're happy that our convenience store is open again yesterday. Good to go is open and operating. So.
Okay. Outstanding.
Yeah. Great.
Thanks, Mayor.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Just enjoyed being up there last week for a Conservation Board meeting, so we had a chance to be in the City Hall area there, and may have left a little mud on the floor, but, you know, I tried to clean my feet off pretty good there. But, again, a lot of exciting things going on up there now.
Next would be the Colonesco School District.
Good morning.
Thank you, sir.
Like everyone before me, thank you very much for the opportunity to appear before you and ask for, again, the opportunity to continue to support our community and our school system. Before I begin any further than that, I'd like to thank you again for last year's, I'm going to call it a contribution, if you will, in our desire to put together a facility, a playground for our students in the Colonesco School District. Obviously, this is a burden we wish that the district could do on its own. Unfortunately, the district's been in a situation where we're rebounding. We're doing very, very nicely, but we continue to look for some help in doing these kinds of things. We do have PEPL dollars available to us. You're very well aware of those, but we have a number of reasons to spend those dollars differently. Just informed yesterday with all of the rain that we have kind of a roof collapse in one of our old three-story buildings, and so that's going to take us a little while and those dollars to repair that and get it back where it needs to go. This is phase two of that project. I know you were in Zeering the other day. I think you had maybe an opportunity to see the playground, and what those dollars did really created a very, very nice opportunity for all of our students in the educational setting as well as any visitors to our community. As you know, it's across the street from the lake. I think that's really an advantage for anyone coming into the community and having children that would like to play. It's a very beautiful green spot. Picnics can happen there. Play can happen on a green area as well as the playground equipment, et cetera. Phase two, and by the way, this was, again, all designed by members of the community. We have a group that kind of lets us know what we need to do. We would have liked to have done it all in the first year, but we know that we didn't have the financing to do that, so it's been broken into phases. The second phase, as it's outlined in the information that I've given you, is basically an asphalt pad that will allow us to put up some goals, basketball goals on each end of that. I don't know that we'll have shuffleboard, but I promise we'll have four square. But
hey,
I mean,
you were listening.
I was listening. If that's what it takes, I'm going to get that in there, and we'll get We'll get all the equipment together.
I like it.
You know, whatever. We got to understand how this works. Basically, that's kind of like what we would like to do. We'd like to fence that area as well. It'll have two basketball goals that the district will be responsible for, four square area, et cetera. We do not have a hard surface play space at that building, and so we're very limited on days. We have to keep kids indoors. If you've ever been involved in education, you have elementary kids in a gymnasium all at one time, it gets pretty rough. But that's not the only reason. But it would give us a space that we can blow off or plow off and allow kids to go out on those days that aren't too bitterly cold to get that done. Again, I think we qualify under the same two reasons that we qualified before. The phase three of this project is basically is going to be a little bit more beautification. We want to put some flower beds in. We've had a number of ideas that the committees have brought forward, but we think that this is the most logical steps we take at this particular time. The last sheet I gave you is kind of a cost breakdown of what we believe the project will be. What we're asking for as far as TIF funds would be a total of $17,500, significantly lower than what we asked for last year, but there was so much we had to do to establish ourselves last year that now we're able to do or ask for a little bit less in doing that. The equipment will be the contribution from the district. We know we need to do that. We have some opportunities there, maybe potentially through fundraising, through booster club, et cetera. What we don't have is the ability to go out to a lot of organizations and apply for dollars to be applied to a playground. We can do a lot of other things that we need to do. We are applying at some other organizations, if you will, but this doesn't qualify for that, and that's why we bring the project to you for your consideration. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we hope to do with the dollars if they are available to us again this year and move forward with this project, again providing it not only for the district but I think to the efforts that the city of Zering is making as well. I kind of see this as a joint effort of not only assisting our students during the 9 months of the school year but also the community and drawing individuals to the community and giving kids a safe green space and playground on which to play. So with that, again, you're very busy. What kind of questions can I answer for you? What direction can you give me?
Well, one thought and one question. The thought is, I think it's important for us to remember that this is all happening right across the street from the entrance to the new Dakins Lake. So actually an enhancement, kind of a synergy created there. Second question is, how do your numbers look? I know you don't have official numbers yet, but how are your numbers looking this
Thank
year?
Thank you. You know, over the last couple of years, we have gained students. We believe right now with our rough estimates is that we'll be approximately 10 students up, which doesn't sound like a lot.
That's a lot.
But to a district like ours who's lost 25% of its student population in the last 10 years, those are big numbers.
If we're making headway.
We're making headway. People are coming to the community. I think for the efforts of all three of the communities that the district represents, I think people are aware. And as you know, you were in a meeting when I talked for us. It's all about kids, and that kids are going to come when we work with the community to ensure that there's a quality place for people to live and to grow. So I see it as a win-win for both the communities as well as the school district in moving forward with this project.
All right. No questions. Thank you.
Just
thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Great.
Last but not least, the city of Slater.
Hi, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Hi there.
Just so everybody knows, I'm Mark Estrom, Public Works Director.
Mark
Slater.
I'm Jennifer Davies. I'm Economic Development Coordinator for the City of Slater. Mark has joined me, and I also have two council members in attendance. Mr. Steve Ransom and Sue Erickson have joined us. I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to present Slater's Main Street Revitalization Project. As you already know from the application, Slater has requested $1.2 million for a $1.6 million project. This project not only involves the complete replacement of the street surface, but it will be improving all of the infrastructure for the commercial district of our Main Street. For example, we'll be moving water and sewer lines to the alleyways for accessibility. We'd be improving lighting, completely replacing sidewalks and curb and gutter. And last but certainly not least, this project would give the community an opportunity to deal with stormwater issues that for the city of Slater happen to begin in this area of town. It the project is the two blocks of our Main Street from Story Street, where our City Hall sits on the corner, to Tama, and it would go back to the alleyways of each of these blocks. The following pictures, I just want to show you an example of our street and sidewalk issues. And these issues aren't just spotty in our Main Street. These represent our entire Main Street area. As you can see, we literally have chunks missing from the street and sidewalks, which obviously brings safety issues, tripping hazards. We have curb pulling right away from the sidewalks. Accessibility, as you can see here, this doesn't meet handicap accessibility. A couple of our intersections dealt with in for this for handicap accessibility. This slide represents, if you can get a good look at it, actually our street sits higher than our sidewalk, which only enhances our storm water issues. The water is running from the street onto the sidewalks and making issues for property owners trying to maintain their buildings and keep their properties up to code and in good usable condition. Pitted. This is another slide where the street actually is higher than the sidewalk, and you can see where it creates hazards, not only when it's wet, but when it's dry as well. Another shot of the street being higher at another intersection, running into the, and then what happens is obviously the property owners are trying to protect their buildings and overcocking, and this sidewalk actually pitches towards the building. There's been several attempts at repair. You start replacing, you start filling, you start tarring, but as you can see, where do you stop? The damage just keeps on going. We feel that the economic impacts for the community and the county would be huge if we could begin our a Main Street transformation in this manner. Obviously, as you all know, the city has been working very hard at trying to gain new commercial development on our Main Street. We have a now very beautiful building on one of our corners that has been completely redone. and obviously, it's bringing in more tax dollars now. So all of it encompasses the new development. You're going to bring the higher property tax revenues, which brings. We'll also be bringing in, if we can gain more commercial, we're bringing in tourism. The city of Slater's most recent numbers for trail, for the High Trestle Trail. We are having 2,000 people pass through our community on a weekly basis. Our population is only 1,498, so we're more than doubling our population every week during the busy times of the trail usage. And bringing them to our Main Street area, which is only two blocks from the trail, would be tremendous. So new commercial development, encouraging at that, obviously is going to bring in more sales tax revenue, and it all just keeps encircling each other and continues to amplify and progress. our council has repeatedly considered assessing property owners or doing a bond to make these improvements. However, we would be creating an environment that would put us right out of the realm of anybody being able to afford to live and start a business in Slater. Our general tax levy is already at its maximum. And when you add the debt service levy to it, we're at 1435, which is only the second highest levy in the county. Nevada is the only one that exceeds for that actual city levy. But then you add our school surtax that has been applied to the city of Slater's tax levy, and we're at 44.64 per thousand, which makes us the highest in the county by over $2 by any other community. So it would just not be make economic sense for us to assess this to property owners or create another bond, which we would be taxing the citizens again. We do realize that this is a large request, so I would like the council to consider some options of maybe if it's possible, if it, we'd be willing to do it over 2 to 4 years, depending on
phases.
I've talked to the local bank. I would like to see the whole project be done in 1 year because the city would take out some kind of a short-term loan from the local banking industry to be able to do it in 1 year, since it's such a small area and it wouldn't be economically feasible to have some contractors come in and try to do it in four phases. But if it was an option to be able to commit these dollars over a 2 to 4 year period, if 1 year is not acceptable or feasible, that'd be great. Any questions or?
Well, I think you answered the one question. When I looked at the total project cost and the amount that you were asking for this, you answered the question about the possibility is that if you didn't come up with the 1.2 million that is requested here, would you be able to do it over a phased-in approach and so forth? Obviously, I'm sure if you've been to several of the other last week and this week, you know, there are a lot of outstanding projects being on the table for us to consider, and there's a finite number of dollars that's basically available. So when you try to look at the benefit of the county as a whole and not necessarily one entity, it creates that situation for us to try to figure out what is the appropriate dollar amount that could be levied over a period of time to serve these communities. And I think all in all, every project that has been presented has some merit, and that's a good thing because it means it gives us some challenges to think about and not only we know they're worthy, but the amount of dollars that we could actually come in one calendar year, and then the ability to extend that beyond is something else that is always a little difficult for boards of supervisors to commit beyond a certain number of years because you never know, the transition that takes place from that standpoint. But I do appreciate, the information and the challenges that you've presented to us. Thank you.
Yeah, Wayne, I think you're right on, and I think I'll even go a step further. And Jennifer, I think, first of all, I think it's a desperately needed project. I'm so appreciative that Slater is trying to figure out how to get this done. The problem that I think you're going to run into with us, knowing that we've got to make these decisions as we go through the fall, so I'm simply looking at last year and a request that Colo made that was comparable that we denied, simply because at that point anyway, we felt like these dollars were not appropriate being used to pave city streets. We've got this request this year, which includes paving a street. We've also got a request from Story City, which involves paving city streets. So maybe we'll go differently on it this year. But I do know that when I look back at what we did with Colo last year and look at the similarities here, it makes it hard to find a way to justify this. So what I think I would ask of you and your city council is, look at options. Look at, there's several items in here, you know, the water, getting the water done that we have, in fact, approved, doing some curb and gutter and beautification type issues that we have, in fact, approved. The street issue is something that not only have we not approved it before, we actually denied a request like that before. And so I just encourage you guys to look at all options, see if we can get this into more of a bite-size kind of thing, and see what we can do with help to help, simply because I do see the need here. I do see the huge benefit, Jennifer, as you pointed out, if we can find a way to get it done. And now it's just a matter of trying to find a way to get there.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
And that should be it, correct, Leanne? Do you have anything you want to add?
Just as follow-up to the presentations that have been given, next Tuesday on September 2nd, you as a board will then begin your discussions on projects that you may, or projects or portions thereof that you may wish to fund. Give staff some direction as to the necessary changes that may need to be made to our ordinance or whatever our plan. Those would then come back in preliminary format on 9-9, September 9th, and then setting the public hearing. We really, the clock starts ticking at this point. We have the very important December 1st deadline that we need to backtrack, and things really move fast from this point forward.
But, Leanne, there is an opportunity for, and we'll use Slater since Slater was the last one to give a presentation. There is an opportunity for us as a board to request that staff go back to Slater and say, okay, what can we do to further refine this project as part of the request, right?
Between now and the 9th, even beyond that, too. If you'll recall, the plan that was amended last year, or that was approved last year, includes a variety of different elements of the projects that ultimately were not funded. That's just you're setting your foundation, and then the funding approval is really what solidifies it in stone.
Yep. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next would be consideration of minutes from the 8-19 canvas and the regular minutes from 8-19.
And I'll move approval.
Second.
Motion to second. Any additions or corrections?
Thank you, everybody.
Yes. Thank you.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot, aye, those have been approved. Personnel actions.
Move approval as submitted.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot, aye. Consideration of claim.
I like this one better. Move approval.
Let's flip a coin. Aye. Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot, aye, the claims have been approved. Consent agenda. Gentlemen, we need to add utility permit 1509.
Move approval with the noted change.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Those consent agenda has been approved. Public hearing items. Consideration of award of contract for trail resurfacing to portions of the heart of Iowa Nature Trail and the Prairie Rail Trail. Mike Cox. Okay.
Mike, how you doing?
Good.
You got fish swimming around in Dakins, huh? Outstanding.
They tried to throw me in the other day, but I stayed far enough away.
We had a tour of the conservation board up there last week, and it was hard to keep one of our illustrious members out of the away from his fishing pole, Mr. Ed Tedesco.
I'm closer, Mike.
This item, just very quickly, you are familiar, we opened bids last week for a resurfacing project on the heart of Iowa Nature Trail. We had one bid. The bid exceeded the amount of funding we had in consultation with that bidder. The material that bid was not the material that we spec'd. So combination of those two reasons, primarily it exceeds funds, exceeds the FEMA approved amount. The Conservation Board requests that the Board of Supervisors reject that bid, and then requests that we rebid the project. But that'll be another item here. So, Fort Story is we're requesting that we not award that bid.
Okay. Well, this is listed under our public hearing, so I will open the public hearing. If anybody has anything to add to this topic, this would be the time to come forward. Not seeing a huge rush to the microphone, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board.
I would move that we accept the recommendation of the Conservation Board to reject the bid as submitted for the resurfacing of this portion of the Heart of Iron Nature Trail and Prairie Rail Trail.
Second. Got a motion and a second to follow the recommendation of the Conservation Board. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Recommendation followed. Next would be consideration of plans and authorization to solicit bids for the trail resurfacing of portions of the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail and the Prairie Rail Trail.
So we're a couple things. We're turning this right around in the essence of time. Still trying to get a meet the construction window for this season. What we're doing different in the bid, we're going to try to get some more bidders, and we're also giving a longer window of time in order to get the project done. Although I think most companies are going to want to get in and out this fall, spring is a very difficult time to do work on the Heart of Iowa. However, we'll put the substantial completion deadline in spring to give that option should it be necessary. So, again, same project. We're just changing the timelines a little bit and hope we get some more bidders.
I move that we authorize conservation to solicit bids for trail resurfacing of portion of the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. There's your authorization, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Consideration of Resolution 1515, Inter-Fund Loan, Lisa Markley.
Markley looking for money.
I think this is a bonus for you guys today. You get to see me twice.
It's such a treat.
Okay, so what I'm asking is that you approve a possible loan to the supplemental fund. I put in here up to $500,000. I'm hoping that won't be necessary, but it's an interfund loan, so it will be paid back in the fiscal year. Okay. I told you when we put the budget together, and I told you when we ended the fiscal year, and I told you, that the supplemental fund has a lot of pressure on it with the CLP funding from there and the fact that our insurance premium is due at the beginning of the fiscal year. So I'm watching it daily. The tax collections are coming in, but there's a good possibility I might have to loan it some money to get through.
You've gone above and beyond here and with the $500. That's more than you're going to need.
Way
right?
more than I'm
yeah,
going to need.
Yeah, way lower. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a cushion. And
it's up to. I put in here up to, so that if I have to put in $100,000.
And it's simply a cash flow issue. It's something that will turn around and go back into the general fund before the fiscal year's over.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I'll move approval of Resolution 1515.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there anything further?
No. This is just to say that this is just business operation as usual. We've had to do this in the past. But not too often, but it's usually out of another one. But yeah, so I want to thank Lisa again for the manner in which she stays on top of things like this and really is watching carefully how the cash and funds are going in and out. And we're very fortunate to have the thorough analysis that you provide for us, so appreciate that. Even though, and I love the fact you're a Cyclone fan.
Okay. Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Consideration of request from Chuck Brecky to change the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Charlie DeSalle.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, hey.
Good morning. Give me a second. I'm going to try to... I'm assuming this is... I didn't put a presentation together, but I want to pull up the maps that I had included in your packet just so we have those on the screen. But I will start real quick here and just kind of go over some of the timeline and history on what we're looking at here. Back on May 7th, Chuck Brecky attended a conceptual review meeting with the Story County Interagency Review Team. At that meeting, he was requesting to rezone this subject property, which is currently in the A2 Agribusiness District. The A2 Agribusiness District, mainly for agricultural businesses, does not allow for the construction of single-family dwellings. His intention was to eventually construct a single-family dwelling on this property. At that meeting, he requested, or proposed, I should say, a rezoning from A2 to A1 in hopes of eventually being able to rezone or to build a single-family dwelling on that property. As the board does know, the minimum lot size requirement for the A1 district is 35 acres. However, there's three or four exceptions now to that rule, one of which is the Lisa exception. And included in your packet, I did put a synopsis of that Lisa score, which did show that it was low enough so he could build a single-family dwelling at 1 acre minimum. However, at that meeting, we did inform him of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation of industrial reserve, as you can see here on the screen, the subject property being kind of that T-shaped parcel in the orange there, in the industrial reserve area, all on that hashed out area. Because of that, the industrial reserve does allow for agricultural uses, so the A1 in sense would be compatible with that. However, his intention was to build a single-family dwelling in the A1 district, so at that point we were uncomfortable saying that, yes, this would be okay, just knowing what the intention of the rezoning would be. So because of that, he's requesting a change to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan to something that would allow for that single-family dwelling to be built. The process with fringe plan amendments is, first, we do have three parties that are privy to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan: the City of Gilbert, City of Ames, and Story County. To initiate the plan, the request has to come from the applicant. Two of the three cooperators in the plan have to agree to move it forward for it to be moved forward. The Ames City Council on August 12th did okay the request to move forward. So far we do have one party who has said okay to this. The City of Gilbert will consider it, I believe, next week, September 2nd, if not September 8th. So with that, I'll answer any questions, but the Board of Supervisors do have two options. First of all, your first option would be if you think the long-term industrial reserve designation of this plan is appropriate, and that there are no changes that need to be made to that, to say, no, we don't want to consider this change, and then see if the City of Gilbert, what way they go. Or you could say, yes, we do need to look at options here and see if something is possible for Mr. Brecky to build that house. One thing, listening to the Ames City Council meeting yesterday, it looks like what the real plan is that eventually the current owner of Brecky's Town and Country, I believe Chuck Brecky's dad, is eventually going to be retiring, and he wants to build a house out there kind of in conjunction with the business so he can run it a little bit better. I don't know if we were fully aware, I guess, of his intention on that, but he does have another option, possibly rezoning this to commercial, adjusting some of the boundaries on the parcel. We do allow for single-family dwellings as accessory uses in the commercial district. Only downside to that is that house, if it ever is built there, always has to be accessory to the business. So we'll have to sit down with Mr. Brecky, I think, at some point and see if that's an option. Maybe we don't need to go through the Ames Urban Fringe Plan amendment process. However, if the board is comfortable at least saying, yes, you can move forward with that, I don't see any harm in that this morning. So guess if there's any questions on the request, I'd be happy to
answer. Are there other similar single-family dwellings in this particular area?
There is one, yeah. There's three, I think, in the area. There is one just immediately north on this parcel right here.
And how did that come in before the plan was in place?
Yeah, that house has been there. I don't know how long it's been there for, but it's definitely been there pre-2005 when the plan was adopted.
And so did Ames express any concern? As you know, this whole corridor is going to really be looked at over the next several years in terms of industrial development and other types of things. Are there any potential questions or concerns where maybe more than one particular single dwelling home may be in the area where there could be a lot of other industrial businesses located?
Yeah, and I think in listening to the council meeting, they were kind of, they really did break it down to say this is a two-some acre parcel. And, you know, they always did note that their concern always revolves around the fact that, you know, we don't want to start putting houses up around in this area sporadically, which would affect industrial growth to a certain extent. However, they were trying to see if there was an option maybe in this particular parcel that, you know, if there was a single-family dwelling located there, would that really hinder future industrial growth? And that's what they weren't too sure of. So I think because of that and knowing that, they were willing to move forward, either looking at a map change or looking at some sort of verbiage change to the fringe plan itself that would allow for, you know, single-family dwellings in the industrial reserve.
So what potentially could be the downsides of moving in this direction?
The only downside I guess I would point out would be the precedents that'd be set in saying that, you know, yeah, we can allow for these, you know, sporadic houses to start popping up all over via an Ames Urban Fringe Plan amendment. At that point, you know, you allow one, yes, you probably have to start allowing everybody that comes in for them. However, depending on how the amendment goes forward, how it's worded, how the resolutions and all that are worded, you know, there possibly could be a particular exception to this one, I think, looking at it and just how it's laid out.
Well, that's a step or two down the road, right? I mean, the first one is, do you even want to go down the road of looking at the urban fringe plan?
And that's where we're
not
at.
There would be an amendment for sure.
Yeah.
The question I have, Charlie, is, okay, so I believe that this board year and a half ago requested that we open the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, but we were referring specifically to North Dakota, I believe, and that whole corridor. My question is, do you open the urban fringe plan on a specific topic, or once you open it, does it open the opportunity to talk about everything?
And we've had those, I would say, preliminary discussions with the city of Ames on that North Dakota issue out there.
Right.
During that process, the city of Ames is also bringing up the East Industrial Annexation area that they're looking at. So, you know, we've been trying to figure out, I guess, the best way to go forward with this. And I'm just giving a little bit more background on this. But at this point, I know the city of Ames, I had discussions with them on it. They're not ready to move forward with looking at the whole scale review of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which I think we all know is necessary at this point. I think that's definitely a decision that needs to be made is, you know, do you want to look at these piecemeal changes or do you want to look at some holistic changes to the plan or should we hold off on that at that point? But looking at it holistically, the one issue I probably have with this particular area is that this area, you drive by it, it's an industrial commercial area right now. I don't know if we ever do look at some changes to the plan. I don't know if that's ever going to change because that's what's out there right now. So
I guess for me it seems like a pretty reasonable request. There's already two houses out there that have been there for quite some time. There's a third house a little bit further north of that that's got quite a bit of area that he's put back into some sort of a nature area. So and to me it would seem a little unreasonable to expect that Mr. Brecky would want to go back and try to rezone this and make this new dwelling, an accessory to the business. And at some point, you know, they may not want to be in that business anymore and not want to have to sell the house with the business. So I guess for me it's a reasonable request.
Paul, I think I would agree. I might take a half step back from you and say at a minimum it's a reasonable request that we agree to look at this.
Right.
And then we just see where it goes. But so I'm with you. I mean, today all we're talking about is do we second Ames' agreement that we need to look at this part of the plan? And to me, I think it's completely reasonable to look at it.
And when and if an actual amendment does come forward, we obviously will have a ton more of analysis, facts, and everything that's associated with that to tie to the plan to help you make a better decision. But, yeah, exactly. You're right now just saying, should we look at that? Is it appropriate to spend staff time, expect the applicant to pay all the fees that are associated with it to come forward, or is it just so unreasonable that it's not worth it?
I would suggest that it's worth looking at, and so I would move that we do grant opening the Ames Urban Fringe Plan with regard to this specific area.
I will second the motion.
A motion and a second. Is there anything further?
Well, only to say that I appreciated the last comment that you made, because I wasn't quite sure of the action that we would take if. That we're not making a definite decision at this time to actually approve that, but it's to look at the prospects of what all it might entail. So that helped clarify a little bit for me, because it says to me, the way it's stated, it says request for to change the Urban Fringe Plan, and so.
Yeah, this is. I don't see this as changing anything. This simply opens the conversation.
Right, and so that's where
look at changes something.
I appreciated the last comment.
And then the other part that I would add is, this industrial reserve, while we're full party to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, Ames is the one who is more interested in this whole industrial reserve area, specifically north of this section we're talking about right now. But as they go down the road, Ames is, I think, taking a full-fledged effort now to really start to look at their land use plan. And I said all along that I think the full-blown Urban Fringe Plan is part and parcel to that conversation. And if this is the first step down that road, I'm in full support of it.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Request has been granted.
But Charlie, thanks.
Thank you, March and ours, Charlie.
Good. No agency or departmental reports, liaison assignments, and committee meeting updates.
Met yesterday with Deb just briefly. The gist of the meeting was, again, to just finalize her goals for FY14-15 as we were completing the evaluation, just a brief discussion regarding Central Iowa Juvenile Detention, and making sure that we were clear in terms of what the governance board requested. So, Paul, since you serve on that board, I don't know whether I need to contact Tony or you. The decision basically is that he should reach out to the sheriffs of within that district and see where they stand on this. And also asking that the individuals within those counties reach out to their clerks of court as well, because if this goes forward, it would mean that the courts would need to change their ruling so that the sheriff and or designee could be determined. And so Deb is going to go ahead and contact our clerk of court to kind of get a little feel for if they may have some questions, and so I think we're going to try to do that at this time. So if things continue to move forward in a positive manner, at some point, and there seems to be support for this, then we would have to go through contracting service just like we do with all the other entities. We do know there's just one county right now that has basically said that they weren't in support, primarily because their officers still wanted the overtime, but they recognize that could change over time. So, and it doesn't mean that they would have to do it even if we would enter into this contractual agreement. So the question was is whether or not I should make the call or could you make the call, and then if he has any additional questions, he could get back in touch with me on that. Okay.
Gov. Had a nice meeting with the Neighborhood Association over by the CLP building on Saturday afternoon. They just had questions about where the whole mental health redesign in our new region is going to impact CLP, and specifically that build, those two buildings, residential care facility as well, and how it might impact their neighborhood. So we had a nice conversation, and I'm sure it will continue.
I'll pass. Announcements from the supervisor. Wayne?
Pass.
You got a public forum.
Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. And nobody's moving towards the mic. Now we'll go to announcements. Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
I was a little too quick. Dale, how are you?
Good. We are Dale and Charlene Jarbo from John Incorporated Town of Fernald. And our concern is that we have several properties out there that appear to have been abandoned. And we would like to know what can be done to solve this.
Well, I think one of the first things we'll do is have a discussion, and this has kind of been in my mind also here in the last few months, with our environmental health department, and make sure that those buildings, if they pose a public health threat, then we can take action that way. But I think there needs to be probably a bigger overall picture of what to do, because there's several houses, and I think more it's east, tends to be east of the stop sign, the four-way
right.
stop.
There's at least three of them east of the.
Mm-hmm. On our radar, and now I know somebody I can contact if I have some questions.
Well, we've tried to do things about it before and never seemed to get anywhere. So,
and I do know there's some interest. I think Leanne, you told me that some interest in improving the playground area and the park area up there through the trustees. So,
can we get a discussion of Fernald on our agenda so that we can actually move down the road? I would say that Charlie would need to be included. I'd like Leanne to be included, and I'd like Margaret to be included for sure, maybe even Darren Moon with some of the engineering. Let's do it in a time where we can get word out to our residents in Fernald and just start to have a full conversation, because it seems, Paul, I think you're 100% right. I think there are lots of things since it's our unincorporated town in Story County, that we need to be looking at and be on top of as supervisors, since we're the legislative body for that area. So thank you for bringing it to us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dale.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll do announcements from the supervisor.
Well, I'm going to change. I just thought of one.
Senior moment. I knew. I gave him time.
We completed our ALICE training at the Sheriff's Department in cooperation with the Nevada PD last week. It was just an outstanding awareness of what we do in case of an active shooter and so forth. I'm sure that our safety committee, we had several members of our safety committee in attendance as well. So I think most all of them now have gone through the ALICE training portion. There are some potential suggestions that it's probably going to come forth that Cal may be bringing for us to at least consider. So I'm excited about that. And then I believe October, or the first week in October, I believe we're going to again have our second annual safety awareness day that is mandatory for all county employees. So you're going to hear more about that as we move forward.
Okay. Pass. I'll pass also.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Motion to second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.